first ever NCAA tournament game, the Northwestern Wildcats are moving on in the big dance.
Go Cats.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
First, there was Michael Jordan from Salt Lake City. Desperately sick. Flu would have killed a lesser man in one of the great games of his life. And then there was Dave Edit calling the Cats win. Probably should have been in a hospital, but no, he was there. Courtside. Living it up. Now we don't know if he's still alive, but we'll check with him later. Cats win. Let's dance. Well, that was fun. Cats win. Oh, they're by 35, 40 points. You know, I feel really bad for is that kid from Vandy. What's his name?
Matthew Fisher Davis.
He is not going to play in the pros. He's not going to make it to the next level. And it's hard not to picture him 25 years down the road sitting at the end of the bar going, "Where the hell did they foul him?
What happened?"
So it was a rough. Let's just say that Matthew Fisher Davis did score 22 points, which by far led Vanderbilt in scoring. He had huge threes when Vandy was down the 30
and
points.
And is always the case. The mistake at the end of the game is not why they lost.
Right.
The reason they lost is the giant white kid who moves like I do.
Cornette.
What, that kid? That Bigfoot kid is that kid?
He fouled out that big kid.
Yeah.
He hit a three or two himself, but that was unbelievable. That was unbelievable, Steve.
It was fun, and the Cats move on again to play Gonzaga tomorrow. 4:15?
4:15.
Approximate tip time.
Dave didn't lose his voice again, right? Have we heard from him?
Well, no, we're going to talk to him at some point this morning.
Okay, good.
We think he's okay.
Good.
Dr. Kevin Most was going to do a house call.
Oh, go and go see Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, that was nice of him.
He texted me yesterday. He goes, "Should I fly out?"
Go, yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, of course you should. Why are you talking to me? Cats win, and lucky, frankly, in a lot of ways. But you need some luck.
You do. They shot well. They played well. Vanderbilt was making ridiculous shots. If they had lost the game, I wouldn't have said they choked it away. I mean, Vanderbilt, even though they had a huge lead, I just thought Vandy was playing. I mean, they're hitting like threes from 5 feet behind the line with a hand in their face. You had to give it to them. But they missed one. Back of the rim, no good, baby. And
do you think if Northwestern beats Gonzaga, Dave will just literally lose his mind?
Northwestern's going to win the tournament, Andrea.
Yeah,
you really think so?
That will kill Dave.
I think it will.
That will kill Dave.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. I'm worried about him.
Having said that, we're willing to sacrifice Dave for a Northwestern second-round win. Hawks win as well, as you know. Why don't we just go ahead and do the top six? How about that?
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
Cats win. High score for the Cats was?
Bryant McIntosh, 25 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 clutch free throws.
That's the junior.
Yes.
And he was fouled by the kid from Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Why did I foul him?
BMAC, Steve Cochran, could go down as the greatest player in Northwestern basketball history.
Yeah.
Put that out there.
He was great.
He's adorable.
Cool.
Right.
Now, he also followed Vandy with that on the 3-point shot and committed that foul, and that allowed Vanderbilt to pull into, I guess they're down by one at that point.
Yeah, that was a terrible
down
foul.
By four, down by one.
Yeah.
And then he followed it up with 2 free throws to erase that moment.
Yeah.
You know why? Because that's what the greats do.
This kid, he's a confident young man, good old BMAC. I love him.
Yeah. You mean like in a manly way?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, next.
Is that awkward? I apologize.
No. Melissa McCarthy is going to host Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, in May.
On May 13th.
Yeah, excellent.
As far as we're concerned, we would just like her to do Sean Spicer the entire show.
Wouldn't it be funny if she was that character in every sketch?
That should be it. The entire show.
They might.
More on Spicy Spicerman coming up next. Germany's Angela Merkel visits the White House today. Awkward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Trumpster was ripping her pretty hard throughout the campaign. Terrible decision she made, blah, blah, blah. And now she's coming to the White House. The funniest thing I heard was somebody goes, maybe she can give the president some tips on how to handle Putin. Trump's not looking for tips on how to handle Putin.
I think he's already handling Putin.
Yeah, he's doing whatever he's doing, please. Next. A lot of talk about the Trump budget. It's ugly, and it's stupid to take this amount of bad press. It also means absolutely nothing. This budget is just thrown out there as it's not even a trial balloon. It's just thrown out there as a first pass. It goes through Congress. It'll get pared down. Meals on Wheels will be funded. After-school programs will be funded. The block grants that the Trump budget wants to cancel, that's not a terrible idea, but you can't kill all of these social programs and not expect any political fallout. Next! It's a bizarre story. The old Red Power Ranger. I don't have the name in front of me, but the Red Power Ranger from the old days?
Yeah.
Killed his roommate with a sword.
That's just so bizarre.
His girlfriend, Power Ranger's girlfriend, it'd be helpful if I had his name in front of me. The Power Ranger's girlfriend had some parking issue in front of their apartment. So the two roommates had an argument over why she parked where she parked. So the Red Power Ranger killed him with a sword.
Oh, jeez. What is wrong with people?
Ricardo Medina Jr.
That'd be the one.
Yeah, him.
They're
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah, he's
the going... Power Rangers or
no yeah. people? People
oh,
are nuts.
Yeah.
yeah, so he's going to jail.
Which one was the Red Ranger? I mean, didn't they have different? You know, the green one was in charge, right? And the pink one was.
You have
girl.
To check with Ross Cochran okay. on this because you know he was one of the Power Rangers.
Oh, it was the Red Wild Force Ranger apparently?
Yeah, that was a sequel. Ross was the Green Ranger.
Was he?
Yeah.
That's the one in charge, right?
The Red Ranger is usually the leader of the team.
No, the Green is because I interviewed him once.
How oh. do you know that, Mary?
I just looked it up. Plus, my son was a huge Power Ranger.
You know what Ross used
Crazy
to do?
Man.
When the TV was off, he would do the moves so he could see himself in the TV screen.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah. No, I mean like a week ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's still kind of cute because he's still young, but he's got a kid now, so...
Ross and my son should have been friends growing up. Yeah. I think they did the exact same thing.
Do you remember this sound, Mary? You would hear this nonstop. Hee-yah!
Oh, yeah.
Hee-yah!
Then I put my son in karate. That was a great move.
Karate.
Yeah, and he did it every day. It
and then finally, Sean Spicer.
Oh, my
you
gosh.
Know, if you're a political junkie like I am and like a lot of people are that listen to this show, you may have even seen this. You may have seen the outtakes, and I literally mean the outtakes online. But Sean Spicer lost his mind yesterday during a White House briefing. He read for 9.5 minutes media citations, which he says vindicates the president's claim that the Trump Tower was wiretapped. I want people to understand this very clearly. This has nothing to do with how I feel about Donald Trump. Nothing. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. Yeah. It never happened. The Republican and the Democratic leaders of the Senate Intelligence Committee have access to reams of material that we won't ever see and we shouldn't ever see. They came out yesterday and said, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. For the president to continue to go along this line, that it did happen is embarrassing because this is literally everyone knows you're lying. Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Right.
Your family knows. Your friends know. The media knows. The politicians know. Your party knows. The people around you know. You know why Sean Spicer was angry yesterday? Because he was lying.
Yeah.
He had to go out and lie for the boss. That entire charade, that entire show yesterday, that wasn't for the media. That was to impress the boss that he would defend him.
Oh, completely. Did you see the back and forth with Jonathan Carl?
I saw the whole thing.
That must have gone on. How long did that go on? And it was one of those situations like, you are. How many times did he say crickets? Crickets from you guys. Crickets from you guys.
Yeah, and he's wrong on every single assertion that he made. I don't envy Sean Spicer's position, but at some point you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm worried for his health. Sean Spicer could be the first guy that strokes out at the podium during a press briefing because he's got an impossible job, and the stress was killing him yesterday.
And Jonathan Carl is kind of a very, very chill reporter.
He's an assassin.
He is. Yeah. And when he was telling Jonathan Carroll, you better calm down. You have to calm down. As his, you know, you could see the yeah. sweat just on yeah. his brow.
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
Not good. Not good at all. Later in the show, I thought it'd be fun to set Sean Spicer to music. So Mike Jacobson has done that. We'll play that back for you a little bit later in the show. It's a little bit easier to listen to that way.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time, it's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, sir.
Where are you?
Atlanta, Georgia.
What are you doing there?
Spring Ace Convention is here in Atlanta, so I've been down here for a few days.
How's it going?
It's very nice. A little chilly here in Atlanta, but very nice. You know, retail is the exact opposite, so this is the Christmas show.
Ah.
So this is all Christmas stuff for next year, and so all the retailers from all across the country, they just opened up their 5,000th store globally, you know, and so it's a pretty big deal for the Ace Hardware retailers to have all those independent stores, and everybody's here, and it's good. Very good.
It's got to be great, though, to have all of those guys, all of those operators, and you as well, owner-operator. You know, all together in one place, sharing ideas and stuff. Plus, there's got to be a lot of this going on. Anybody know where the men's room is? Where's the men's room?
Wait a minute, are you here? No, it is. It is. And actually, they are, I have to tell you, I mean, the whole reason that my wife and I got into this business years ago was they are some of the best people because, you know, like any independent business owner, they're rooted in their community. They're connected to it. They're worried about it. And you just get this great sense being around all these men and women that do this every single day. So it's fun. It's really fun.
KK in Plainfield is with us. KK. KK is
guys.
KK is currently driving with his top down. Is this a terrible cell line or what's going on? Are your windows open?
No, they're not. I'm driving, but they're not. Can you hear me?
Yeah. All right, we're going to struggle through this, buddy. I have for you, for being the first caller, an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. You can adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's a shame you can't adjust the air in your car. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60 Minute Man, 855-955-HVAC. What's your troubles?
Yeah, my attached garage is not fully finished, so the exterior walls are not insulated and there is no drywall. Is there a particular grade I have to use in the garage, or any drywall and insulation would work?
He's got a drywall his garage. I put him on hold because of the line, Lou. He's got a dry... Well, maybe it's Lou.
Maybe they're washing clothes.
Hold on a second.
Hello?
Lou?
Hello?
Oh,
yes?
Oh, it's
okay.
Not Lou.
No, it's not Lou. We had a very bizarre phone connection there with KK. All right, so you heard him. Drywall.
So here's the answer. Yep. So with the insulating the drywall, he said it's attached. And so the side, the wall that actually shares the drywall and the wall, rather, with the garage and the house, that needs to have a vapor barrier on it to the warm side. So you're going to use a craft-faced insulation, which you can get at any home center. And you're going to put the paper against the warm side, against the house. And then on the inside of the garage, you can just use a regular half inch, or if it were me, I'd use 5/8 drywall. It's a little bit thicker, more rigid. And just make sure that you keep it up from the floor so it's not touching the concrete. Half an inch or so gap there so it doesn't absorb any water from there. But that's it. It's perfectly fine to use standard drywall inside of a garage.
All right, whiny staff questions. Sandberg, what do you got?
I sent Lou a picture yesterday, so he knew what I was
of
talking
what?
About.
Yeah, and will you, and will, you know, I sent it to Pat, and I said it was super inappropriate that you sent me that picture.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
My stepson's closet is a built-in closet, and the doors have these magnets at the top, and that's what keeps the door closed. And the one side,
right.
The magnet doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't hit the little magnet panel, or it doesn't, the one door.
So the door doesn't close completely?
Oh, yes, so I... it makes me crazy. I sent him a picture of the door slightly ajar.
Well, you got to remember, this is a woman who once had to tape over the flashing red light on her DVR.
Oh, yeah. We've got, because I'm using hockey crazy. Tape. Hockey tape over our Xfinity things in the bedrooms because the blue light illuminates the whole room. It's awful.
The whole room.
Right. Yes. And all the power strips I have, the hockey tape over the power strip.
Pat is a saint. I mean, he is
this guy a saint,
right?
He sends me a text yesterday at 10:30 in the morning. Hey, the TVs in the bedrooms don't work. Do you mind looking at it when you get home? He was home until 3. I'm like, okay, the IT department is what I take care of at our house, apparently.
So 4.5 hours he couldn't look at the TV?
He probably just has confidence in her TV looking at skills better
than I looked
his.
At it, and I had to, I told you last night I was in a chat with the Xfinity people.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a saint also, is all I'm saying.
But, and let me just interject here real quick. All of this information is available on Mary Sandberg 2, her second song.
Okay, so what are we going to do, Lou, about my magnets?
Right. This is, okay, so here's the, right, enough about me, get my darn thing fixed.
Yeah.
Try this. Open up the door. This is the little lipstick trick. And on the part of the magnet, we're obviously not lining up. Take a little bit of lipstick and put it on the magnet.
So use
then
pads.
Close the door. Then close the door and find out where the magnet is hitting the door. It's obviously on the magnet side, there's a little piece of metal that it has to attach to, and it's out of alignment. Now, when I look at that picture, the door looks like it's out of alignment. It's sagging. So on the hinge side, that those hinges on that door may be adjustable with a screwdriver.
Yeah.
You may be able to just tighten the screw and recant the door, actually lift it up a little bit, and that will align the metal with the magnet to keep it closed.
Okay.
What can you?
I do understand.
How can you? How
the
can
door
you be,
actually isn't sagging. I know because the picture.
How can you be living in a house
like
with a saggy
foot,
door?
I don't. It's a 10-foot. It's a 10-foot ceiling, and so I had to take the picture from below, so it isn't actually sagging because I didn't get a ladder for the photo.
Okay,
but
to say.
I'll try the lipstick.
The lipstick trick will tell you exactly where the magnet is touching the door,
and not
and then it. You'll be able and not hitting the metal. You'll have to unscrew the metal, which probably has a little set screw.
Yeah.
And then move it over and re-screw it in.
Okay. Don't you want to know what color lipstick to use?
No, and I only wear lip gloss, so I don't know.
Oh, well,
but
lip gloss,
I understand. Right? Yeah, I understand. The,
no, lip gloss won't work. You'll have to find some lipstick.
Yeah, I'll borrow some. Andrea always has like a lot of lipsticks in her purse.
I do. So. I have 3 this time.
Thank you, Lou.
Yeah, okay. I prefer Maybelline, but that's okay.
And a restless city exhaled as Mary's door controversy came to a conclusion.
Right.
Dave,
like the two things that I like from this morning's conversation is Mary says to me, I sent Lou a picture, so that's definitely a fun thing to do out of context. And then she said, and then I was on a chat with the Xfinity people.
Right. Right. Meanwhile, she's texting me cursing about other staff members.
All right.
So, Lou, good luck in Atlanta. I hope you're wearing your vest and your pants.
I am both. Right. They're both red.
All right. Good. Have a delightful day. See you later. 6:33, big story next. Does Dave have a question from Salt Lake City?
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
God, he just won't let it go. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Dr. Sam Ristich standing by. From the Indian Prairie Animal Hospital.
You know, I was been dealing this week. I was surprised how many people forgot the poop samples.
Uh-huh.
And they said, I'll bring it back later. I put it in the refrigerator.
Gross.
I heard that 3 or 4 times this week.
Oh, you got to get rid of those people.
Mm-hmm. Never put your pet's poop in the refrigerator. Bad idea, Steve. I think I'd like to leave the show with that thought.
And now you know. How about this bonus back-to-back experts? First a Lou and now a Dr. Sam. Number to call is 312-981-7200. Really, it's easier if you just text. I guess what I'd throw out to you is this, a behavior question. Why does my dog do this? Why does my cat do that? Why does my emu do this? Why does my flying squirrel do that?
Are there really flying squirrels?
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw those.
Rocky.
Rocky
the Flying Squirrel.
Besides Rocky, yeah.
Dr. Sam Ristich from the Indian Prairie Animal Hospital joins us now. Rocky the Flying Squirrel is real, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Good morning, Steve. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
And to you. What are you wearing that's green?
Socks.
Excellent. I have a T-shirt.
Oh, beautiful.
All right, so you cannot fix animals over the phone, but you could certainly advise. So if people would like to text at 312-981-7200, best advice is always to take your critter to your vet.
We do see flying squirrels, though.
What do they
They're called sugar gliders.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, sugar gliders.
And they jump around, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're nocturnal.
So when you treat a sugar glider, do you have to have the lights off in the examination room?
Well, they're nocturnal. They see a little bit better than you do. The first time I tried that, I did turn the lights off to restrain it. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, it was chewing on my upper eyelid on my left eye.
Well, that can't be good.
No, so he saw me coming. I couldn't see him. So
keep the lights on.
Yeah, and the fact they're nocturnal, when they come in during the day, because we don't have real late evening hours, they're usually kind of crabby.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
So if there's one thing you've already learned from this segment is when treating a sugar glider, leave the lights on.
Exactly.
Okay. We always ask you for stories from the wild world of pet care, but first let's promote where you are. You run the Indian Prairie Animal Hospital. Conveniently located, it's right on the border, really, of Aurora and Naperville, just a little bit, what would that be? That'd be west of Route 59, right?
Correct. It's on Frontenac Street.
Frontenac Street.
Yeah, South Frontenac Street.
Phone number at the office, I believe I'm right about this, 630-820-6999.
I believe that's correct.
Yes, and we'll give you a website, too, but I believe it's Indian Prairie Animal Hospital.
It's IPAHVET, IPAHVET.com.
Okay. Andrea, do you have any critter questions?
Well, it's not really a critter question, but hi, Dr. Sam.
Good morning, Andrea. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. You know, I know you're not Dr. Doolittle, but we bring puppies in a lot, and every time there's a puppy that comes in, I fall in love with the puppy. Steve says, you should get the puppy, but I live in a condo. I'm not home very often. So my question is, if you get a dog, I mean, I had a dog growing up, but this would be the first time introducing them into small spaces. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of dogs needing yards and whatnot, and everybody who lives downtown has one. But I always does that mess with their psyche? You know, and do the dogs think, God, this place is so small, or do they not care?
Not care. It's the not the quantity or the space. It's the quality of the time. I mean, sometimes a dog that has a backyard, that's a very convenient way to just throw them out in the backyard and not interact with them. You know, this time of the year, I'm glad spring's coming, because when dogs get bored, and cats too, they do a lot of unusual things, and they'll eat foreign objects. And we see definitely more surgery on dogs, it seems, when they ingest something during the winter months than they do during the summer and spring, because people are just more active. They're out, they're walking with the dogs and that too. And, you know, your work schedule, you'll probably need to get somebody. There's people that come in now and they walk dogs. You can have them come in 2-3 times a day. So there's a lot of interaction, but they need interaction.
Can you get a live-in nanny for your dog?
You can, all pairs. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Seems to be a tad. You know, in line with what you just said about cats, a texter says, why does my cat lick a bar of Dial soap?
Yeah, it's born. You know, we don't know why they, you know, that behavior is called pica, and we don't know why they do it. I mean, there's many possible causes. Oftentimes it's behavior. It can be diet. It can be GI issues.
Could it be guilt over cursing?
It definitely, during Lent, mm-hmm. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. We had a dog that was on an anticonvulsant drug, and one of the symptoms or adverse effects of this drug is just a depraved appetite. Mm. And this is an older dog that came in, and it was just flat out and distended abdomen. We tapped it. We thought maybe it had a ruptured spleen or a tumor of some sort.
That's what I would have gone with.
Yeah, but it was a ruptured stomach. And when we went in there, I took out 2 socks, a wash rag, 14 rubber bands, and 77 fun-size candy bars, most of them in the wrappers. But the last thing I fished out of his abdomen was Swedish fish, and they were still in the bag.
So was it the dog the dog or cat?
It was a dog.
So the dog went nuts for the Halloween stuff, huh?
Exactly. Halloween stuff, socks, wash rags. So, you know, a lot of times dogs and cats especially, you got to be so careful with any type of string or yarn or anything like that. I know we've had in the highlight reel about not putting the poop in the refrigerator.
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh.
But the other thing, Steve, I think needs to get on that highlight reel, don't pull the string out of your cat's butt.
You know why? Because they'll go faster.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oftentimes it's still anchored at one end. It's like a little bandsaw.
Remember those SST cars when we were kids?
Uh-huh. The same thing.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. Stick around. More to come. John DeCoste has a poodle question, or a puppy question, I should say. We have poodle questions. We have doggy questions coming up. And, of course, everybody loves when Dr. Sam tells us a story.
Okay.
Could be an animal fun fact. Could be an anecdote. Oh, stand by. Dr. Sam Ristich, finest veterinary medicine mind in America, joins us now. And a bunch of texts to go through. We'll go lightning round on these as much as possible. Doc from the 815, is there a way to change the behavior of a six-year-old dog? My Aussie has always been protective of my daughters and me and not very social. We tried to socialize her. She barks, looks very vicious, but she's more of a scaredy cat than anything else. Six-year-old, too old to change a habit?
Absolutely not, but you got to work with a professional. Have your veterinarian recommend a good animal behaviorist or trainer. It's well worth the money and effort.
And it makes your dog happier too, right?
Well, exactly.
Our Basset, this is 847, our Basset gets itchy. Oh, I've had an itchy Basset for a while. I tried a cream, and our Basset gets itchy. Her little armpits, paws, tummy gets irritated and red. Is it the grass? Is it an allergy? Any ideas?
Well, it's definitely probably allergy with a secondary infection in those areas. I would worry about yeast. You always got to rule out fleas or mange. But there's exciting news this spring. We have a new injection now for dogs with allergies, and it's really going to bring back the fun into their lives. The shot will last about 4 to 8 weeks. There's minimal, if any, side effects. And it's going to specific one of the target proteins that is responsible for that itch.
773, we got a 10-week-old puppy. Put a leash on him to go out, and he lays down in the house, but I get him outside. He's slightly timid. Any suggestion on how to have him not lay down when I put the leash on him in the house?
He's got global fear. He's young. He needs to just get out there more often. That will get better.
So it's just
don't drag him, though.
No, it's a repetition thing.
Exactly.
Can I get sick from my dog sneezing on me?
Rarely does dog flu. It hasn't been reported that the flu from your dog would go to you.
Why does my...
With ferrets, Steve, if you have the flu virus, a ferret can get the flu from you.
But only if you're making out?
Exactly.
Okay. Why does my cat play with its poop?
It's bored.
More bored. Okay. Let's go to John DeCoste. You have two beautiful dogs?
We do. Hello, Dr. Sam. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning.
Good morning. We have two dogs, 11, both labs, 11 and 4. We're thinking about getting insurance. Do you recommend it? And if so, what should we look for?
I would have gotten insurance when they were puppies because a lot of the stuff they have now will probably be excluded because of pre-existing.
Okay.
We're hoping that Trump Care takes care of it.
Yeah, I think the new Health Care Act will affect that.
Okay, good. Anybody else with a pet question? No? All right, it's story time from Dr. Sam. Doc, you have an anecdote or a fun fact about a pet you'd like to share with us?
Sure, I do. You know, in research for this program this morning, I know continually throughout the springtime you ask me on the golf course, Sam, where do the turtles go in the winter?
I do ask that. I ask that often.
So where did the turtles in the pond go in the winter, Steve?
I don't know.
They go down to the bottom of the lake, you know, dig a little hole in there. How do they breathe?
Yes, how do they breathe, Doc?
Well, you know, they're cold-blooded, so they slow down their metabolism so they don't have to take in as much oxygen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they've got specialized tissues in their neck that allow them to extract the oxygen from the water. And you know where the main source of that oxygen absorption is from, where they're breathing through? Their butts, Steve.
They breathe through their butts?
Their butt. They're breathing through their butts.
Wow. I have talked through my butt many times, but breathing through my butt.
I know a common theme sometimes on this segment of the show is, you know, about anal sacs and dogs. Uh-huh. So to keep with that theme, they have these two cloacal bursas, and they fill up with air. And then throughout the winter months, they can extract that air.
What if one of your bursas runs out?
You know, that's always a dangerous thing because their metabolism, they go in that anaerobic mode. Mm-hmm. So they're building up with lactic acid. But then the shell breaks down some calcium salts and gets rid of that lactic acid.
And
unbelievable.
When they come up in the springtime, do they look revived and vital?
Oh, yeah. They've been breathing through their
younger
butt for
than
the
ever?
Last few weeks.
Do you recommend breathing through your butt for the rest of us?
No, but let's talk about the butt, because I know you like talking about the butt.
Not that much, actually. No.
I've butt dialed.
That's different.
Too. Okay. Yeah, let's talk different. About sea cucumber, Steve. Do you know what a sea cucumber is?
I don't. No, what is that?
Yeah, it's like a starfish. It looks like a cucumber. It's on the bottom of the sea.
Well, this is fascinating.
Well, what's fascinating for them is their defense against a predator.
What do they do?
They violently contract their muscles, uh-huh. and all their internal organs go releasing through their anus.
Come on!
Yeah, and this sticky mess then entraps the predator, all right? And then they go off, and a few days later, they make a whole new gut system.
Come on!
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
It's like he's talking about my life.
Well, so they literally throw their innards out of their behind.
Yeah.
Wait, this is a starfish?
Yeah.
So don't.
No, sea cucumber.
Sea cucumber.
Yeah.
Sea cucumber. Yeah, I mean, come on, Steve. That's the ultimate organ donor.
That is unbelievable. Wow, yeah. This is fascinating.
You were just quoting Sean Hannity there. The House and Senate Intelligence Committees are.
I also quoted.
The FBI.
I get you're going to cherry pick.
The FBI director, you're citing Sean Hannity.
You also tend to overlook all of the other sources that because I know you want to cherry pick it. But you do. But where was your concern about the New York Times reporting? You didn't seem to have a concern with that.
We have done plenty of reporting on all of this.
But you want to cherry pick one commentary, one piece of commentary.
Associates.
How do you know all this?
What's it going to be next?
Jim, I think that's cute, but at the end of the day, we've talked about this. Well, so you're coming to some serious conclusions for a guy that has zero intelligence.
Give me some credit.
I'll give you some.
A little intelligence, maybe. But no,
clearance. I wasn't done.
I think when you throw the dramatic music in, it makes the complete temper tantrum a little more palatable. Once again, as the sun rises this morning, it didn't happen. Senate Intelligence Committee heads for both parties came out yesterday and said it didn't happen. They have access to all the intelligence available. It didn't happen. And President Trump, if he had a normal functioning set of whatever that set entails, he would stand up and say, I overreacted. I apologize. Let's move on. That's all it would take. But no, he's sticking to the story. It's nothing short of embarrassing. 7:15, we'll get you traffic here in just a second. Before we do, Eric Herman's here. On a separate note yesterday, we were shocked, Eric, yesterday to see that the McDonald's Twitter account fired on Donald Trump. What's the story there?
Well, apparently the company was hacked. They're not exactly sure how, or at least as of the most recent reports, they aren't sure how it happened. But some hacker got into the corporate Twitter account and posted an insulting message about President Trump.
It wasn't a rogue inside job where somebody was screwing around and didn't mean to hit send?
The company says that it was hacked, and also Twitter said that the account had been compromised. So it really appears that it was a hacker.
Wouldn't you think that McDonald's would have some pretty serious security measures, or can you not overly secure? What's the word I'm looking for? Overly protect your Twitter account? You're just subject to whatever Twitter protections there are?
You know, it's a great question. This has happened, though, to a lot of companies. I mean, it's happened to Jeep. It's happened to celebrities like Justin Bieber and so on and so forth. So this has actually happened to a lot of large corporations and sort of well-known people. There are security measures you can take, but, you know, it's hard to stay ahead of these guys.
Yeah, and McDonald's, what McDonald's doesn't want to do, I mean, it's the 35 to 40% of the people, or maybe 45% in some areas, who are strong Trump supporters. They eat McDonald's too. So right. They don't really want to go out and allow a it was a nasty insult of President Trump to be flying on Twitter.
Well, it's interesting. These consumer-facing companies face a really interesting situation because on the one hand, if their customers are Trump supporters, they're worried about it. On the other hand, I think there's been a fair amount of evidence that getting into a negative place with Trump on Twitter might actually help your business.
It does in some cases.
But
a worldwide corporate brand, I get why they'd have a problem with it.
No, for sure. Yeah, no. And McDonald's handled this exactly right. I mean, they took it down quickly. It's important for companies to act swiftly, as McDonald's did when these things occur. And I think for the most part, consumers understand that this kind of thing happens in this crazy Twitter-driven
right
cyber world we live in now.
And especially with this president, I think we're seeing a lot more corporate, I don't want to say bans or boycotts, but how about Starbucks, Nordstrom? I mean, everything that we were seeing, I don't think it will hurt McDonald's. I really don't, even Trump supporters. I don't think it'll have the same reaction as the Chick-fil-A, you know, and then the liberal conservative, that whole kind of backlash that the Chick-fil-A experienced. Yeah. Do you?
No, because the company acted swiftly, as McDonald's did. As companies should. And I think people understand, there was a short-term large spike in McDonald's Twitter traffic and Twitter mentions, but I don't see it having a big impact on their business.
You know the great irony here? You know who the chief communications guy is for McDonald's now, who had to come out yesterday and say, we don't feel this way about Donald Trump? It's Robert Gibbs.
That's
Robert
correct.
Gibbs, who I believe, wasn't he Obama's first press secretary?
He was, and he was on Obama's first campaign in 2008, first presidential campaign, and then he was the White House spokesman.
Yeah, and now he's in charge of making sure that the Hamburglar doesn't go rogue.
Right, he's out there making sure that we understand what Mayor McCheese is trying to do.
Exactly. Don't we all have that question on a day-to-day basis?
Steve, I wake up every morning wondering,
what is Mayor McCheese up to? And is he going to find funding for the schools? Where do you normally work, Eric?
I work at Kivett. We're a public affairs firm. And
put out a lot of fires.
We do. That's what we do. We put out fires and make the world a smiling, shiny, happy place.
But you believe the McDonald's Twitter account is once again safe for viewing.
That is my understanding. And last time I checked, it was totally safe and family friendly. And, my kids love McDonald's. So,
yeah.
It's,
who doesn't?
I don't know how people parent without it, quite frankly.
The parent. I Diet Coke at McDonald's every morning. Come on. I don't drink coffee. Without a McDonald's Diet Coke, I wouldn't be here.
For sure.
Well, there's people that would probably vote that I don't have any more than. Anyway, nice to see you, bud. I appreciate you coming over.
Great to see you as always. Thanks.
719. Mary's back. Traffic trouble spots. And then let's give away some Hawk tickets. Last night, after two, it was nothing. Third period, three pucks find the back of the net. Two of them belong to the Blackhawks. That's the good thing. Hawks win 2-1. We'll get to the Express here in just a second. But John DeCosta here, not only is he musical director of the program, he also is chief riddle writer. Is there any money in the riddle game these days?
Oh, there is. Yeah.
Big riddle money?
No, I just did my taxes, 32 cents.
32 cents. I think we're overpaying you. This riddle will determine where the puck was hidden. Listen for the clues. Determine the place indicated by the clues, and you'll know where the puck was hidden. I'm going to hurt myself if I try to describe this anymore. I have Hawks tickets for you. Please, riddle ahead, please.
They called me Ernie's in 1932. Beer in a pail and a hot dog drive-through. In 1980, a new name on our sign we did feature, Sheffield and Waveland, past the Wrigley Field bleachers.
Do you know?
Of course.
You don't know at all.
I don't really. Can you do it again?
They called me Ernie's in 1932. Beer in a pail and a hot dog drive-through. In 1980, a new name on our sign we did feature, Sheffield and Waveland, past the Wrigley Field bleachers.
You don't know, do you?
No, I think I do know now.
Yeah, you don't really, do you?
Not so much.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, so first correct caller First correct caller can tell us where the puck is hidden. I can tell you're confused, Mark Carmen, and don't say the answer if you think you know it.
I definitely do think I know it, but I'm not 100% certain.
Let me see your answer. Hold it up, please. Yeah, I think that's true, too. All right, first correct caller. You'll be a big winner. Hawks Express, let's relive another Hawks win. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Here we go.
Have won 9 of their last 10 road games, and tonight they'll battle the Ottawa Senators up here in Canada's capital. The Senators bring a blue-collar style to every game and can take over the top spot in the Atlantic Division with a win against the Hawks tonight. Here's Panera with a drive, and a glove save is made by Condon. Okay, go ahead and ask the question. What was Derek Brassard thinking right there? Condon bailed him out big time. Gave it a Keith right circle, pumps it in on goal. Pad save made by Condon. He falls back into the goal. Is it in the net? It is. They score. Duncan Keith let it rip from the right wing circle. Hoffman top of the right circle. Back to Carlson now at the blue line in the deep slot. To the top of the left circle. Turris shoots and scores. Power play goal. It took the Senators all of 12 seconds to tie the score at 1. Taves now. Into the right wing circle, put it out to the line. Keith to Taves, rolling through the top of the right circle. Gave it a Kane, bottom of the circle. He'll carry the puck in behind the net, give it a Panic. He shoots, he scores from the left wing circle. Panic snaps it over the right shoulder of Condon and into the back of the Senator net. Hawks 1-for-4 in the power play, lead the hockey game 2-1 with 3:01 left in the third. Jalmerson moves it up the right boards to Kruger. He'll clear it down to the Senator line. 3 seconds left. Here's Ryan at the Hawk line deflecting the puck into the Hawk zone as time runs off the clock and the Blackhawks beat the Ottawa Senators 2-1 and now own a 3-point cushion over the Minnesota Wild for first place in the NHL's Western Conference and Central Division.
Hawks win! Hawks win! Maple Leafs are next. Stand by for that. But I tell you what, man, they are on such a roll. It's fantastic. At 728, was it Sean from Joliet? Is that what I just heard? Sean from Joliet was a winner. Do the riddle one more time and then tell us.
They called me Ernie's in 1932.
Uh-huh.
Beer in a pail and a hot dog drive-thru. In 1980, a new name on our sign we did feature, Sheffield and Waveland, past the Wrigley Field bleachers.
And the answer is...
Oh, me? Murphy's bleachers.
Good job, John.
I thought you were going to ask the guy from Joliet.
No, Sean's a big winner already. So Murphy's bleachers. Where in Murphy's? Does it matter?
There is a booth.
And that's where the puck is?
Yeah, that's where the puck is.
All right, so if you're in Murphy's today, look for the puck. Won't get you anything, but look for it anyway. We'll do more Hawk riddles coming up. And also, we're going to stuff some more pucks in people's pants for 2 reasons. 1, because I like it, and 2, because Sandberg doesn't. Those are the 2 reasons. At 729, still to come. Oh, our annual call from an angry leprechaun. Every St. Patrick's Day, we get an angry leprechaun call.
But aren't leprechauns normally happy?
Normally. Not this guy. And in addition to that, here in a couple of minutes, this is exciting for me. Aaron Perlett, the boss at the International Mustache Museum and Hall of Fame, with announcements of the new Hall members.
Very cool. Now, yeah, you have a goatee, exciting. So does that count, too? Will he, like, kind of critique
your... I was told this is a Van Dyke.
A what?
A Van Dyke.
Okay.
That it's not technically a goatee.
Why?
Like a Dick Van Dyke? He doesn't have a goatee.
What? I was told the goatee is chin only. It's not connected to the stash.
Oh, it's just the little, okay.
Yeah. It's a Van Dyke when it's connected to the stash like mine is.
I thought that was a soul patch.
I like to consider it the distraction. Yeah, it's the distraction. Because when guys are bald, you grow facial hair. It's 7:30, back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
How long did it take you to grow that mustache?
A couple of days.
I wish I could grow one.
Once again, it's not necessarily a goatee or a Van Dyke. It's a distraction. That's mine. Don't know about yours. Aaron Perlett does. Aaron Perlett, in a world fraught with discrimination towards those who adopt the superior attractiveness of facial hair, the wall seems to be coming down a bit. More men than ever sporting beards and facial hair. What are your thoughts? You like facial hair on a man?
I don't mind. On you, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Good answer?
Very good answer.
Okay, good.
Mary Vanderbilt, do you like facial hair on a man?
Yeah, but not the big bushy beards. Don't like those at all.
You don't like the...
The Jake Arrieta beards.
The Jake Arrieta beard. I was thinking of the guys that make the duck calls.
No.
Oh, the Duck Dynasty guys?
Yeah, the Duck Dynasty
guys. Either. Or
yeah.
Like the ZZ Tops. You know.
Yeah, those guys, no.
Those got to go.
Let's go live now to the man himself, Aaron Perlett, the chief of the Mustache Hall of Fame. Good morning, Mr. Perlett. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Nice to talk to you again. You seem more serious than ever.
Well, you know, I was a little bit concerned that Mary is running her mouth about what constitutes championship facial hair when said Mr. Arrieta just had minted himself a ring, and who is she to say what's appropriate and what's not in terms of density and bushiness and solubility?
That actually was Andrea. I don't want to throw you under the bus.
Yes, no, Mary said that.
No, it was me.
It was Mary.
Oh, it was you.
She said, I like the facial hair. And
I just don't like the big beards. I didn't say it in like Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a personal shot, Aaron.
And Steve, just to be fair, you know never to correct me ever again.
That's a good point. It's a good point. Well, listen, he's the man. He's the man. Do I have a Van Dyke or a goatee?
From everything I've seen and when I've actually examined your facial hair, I believe it's a goatee, but... there's also some there's some wiggle room, much like a Donald Trump story. There's always, there's some room between fact and fiction.
If so, I were to rub my facial hair on the microphone, could you tell which one it is?
I could smell it if I was blind, but I probably couldn't tell it simply from rubbing it on the microphone, only because there's been a lot of changes in technology, particularly in the last 12 to 14 years.
Does it sound more like a goatee or a Van Dyke?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Does it sound more like a goatee or a Van Dyke?
You know, maybe it does sound more like a Van Dyke, which proves my point about the technology changes. So just stay strong. All that matters is that you're playing your part. You're part of the community. You have millions and millions of people out there who believe in you as an upright mammal. So you're in good shape.
What do you attribute the fascination, the fact that beards and facial hair are as hot as they've ever been? Probably... not since the Revolutionary War have so many American men sported facial hair.
So I would love to tell you that the rise of the American Mustache Institute post 2000 had nothing to do with it, but I can't tell you that because we did have everything to do with it. that's taking a step too far. We started a snowball rolling downhill,
and I think
what really added to that with the tremendous interest in leveraging facial hair as a charitable means, you and I have talked about.
Sure.
So Shave November and Movember and Mustache March, which we're in right now. I think that played a big role as well. And then, you know, I think we tend to also, for better or for worse, as a culture, take our cues from celebrities.
Yes.
And if you watched Beard Fest 2017, better known as the Oscars.
By the way, who didn't?
I think it seemed 8 out of 10 male celebrities that were on the Oscars had some sort of beard or facial hair.
And some of the women.
Yeah, exactly. So which is a great segue to use radio vernacular into the Mustache Hall of Fame class.
What is the website so people can follow along?
MustacheHall.com.
MustacheHall.com. That would be spell mustache for us.
It's the non-communist way. It's MUSTACHE as opposed to MOUS, which those communist Brits use.
All right, so MUSTACHE.
Yes.
HALL.com, mustachehall.com. Who are the new inductees?
So we actually have a wonderful class. And I think it starts with the first woman ever inducted into the Mustache Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow, okay.
Mexican artist, Frida Kahlo.
Ah, Frida Kahlo, yes.
Here's the segue. Frida Kahlo, too often we get caught up in that paradigm of mustaches are only for men. And, we know there are sisters, global sisters out there of mustache. And Frida Kahlo was a trailblazer in that... she was no waxer. She lived it proud and out loud, and we were heartwarmed that the team chose to induct her.
Well, that's very exciting. Is she the only mustache where the eyebrows are actually connected to the beard, or have you seen others?
There's a few others, principally in South America, even going down to Brazil. Uh-huh. But there are only a few. There's seven left in the world presently.
And by the way, the obvious Mustache Hall of Fame members, you know, your Tom Selleck's, your Raleigh Fingers, your Teddy Roosevelt's, they're all out there. Andrea, say hi to Aaron.
Aaron, I applaud you. Thank you. I think it's so wonderful that there are now women, being of Greek descent, I think it's wonderful that you're inducting Frida Kahlo. It was, and you know what? He empathizes. It was hard to get a good wax in 1907.
I suppose that could be the case.
Yeah.
Without question. Yeah. I appreciate your appreciation for my appreciation of facial hair. And I can just say again, you're welcome.
All right. Who else?
So, interesting class this year. It really demonstrates the diversity of our people. So, we had everyone from – we actually have a double Hall of Famer now in Larry Zonka, the NFL Hall of Famer from the Miami Dolphins.
Sure.
You know, some people felt that he should have been a member of the inaugural class when we opened. This is our third class, of course, when we opened. But Zonka finally made it in this year. The Veterans Committee looked at his stature and felt that he was a shoe-in. But what really put him over was, and I'm not kidding you about this, you can go find it if you use that thing they call, I believe it's called Google.
Uh-huh.
He actually petitioned for enshrinement, he and the NFL. And there's a video floating around petitioning for his enshrinement in the Mustache Hall of Fame.
See, that's interesting to me because I would think much like Augusta National, if you ask to get in, you're never getting in.
Well, you know, we're not caught up in silliness like that.
No, of course you're not. Okay. All right, so Zonka, Frida Kahlo, and who?
So, yeah. Frida Kahlo, Ambrose Everett Burnside, which of course is where the former general, former governor of Rhode Island, he is that is where sideburns come from.
You're kidding?
No. So he connected. He had the original General Lee, where, and this of course it harkens back to an era that you were mentioning earlier, where nearly every male in power and some
sure.
males in power had facial hair, but he was that, he bridged that connectivity of what's known as the General Lee in street lingo.
Sure.
Friedrich Nietzsche, in our historical figures.
I'm glad you went so mainstream with your inductees this year.
Oh, you know, we always, again, broad diversity. We've got a deep pool. We can only let in so many each year. So Nietzsche made a lot of sense. From film and television, Richard Pryor. Yeah, again, someone who there was some consideration our first time around, and it took us three times to get him in. And then in the animated space, and we always have an animated inductee, The Lorax this year. largely because we felt that if Wilford Brimley is in, The Lorax needs to be in.
I don't know if I know this. Is Yosemite Sam in?
Yes, Yosemite Sam's in.
Okay, good. I would be worried if he wasn't. Well, this is a fine, fine list. How do you fund the Mustache Hall of Fame? Is this all public funds?
It is an endeavor of the American Mustache Institute, but there's a beard and mustache wax brand called Can You Handlebar that is the official presenter of the Mustache Hall of Fame, and they've been our partner for about 2 years now.
Okay.
They've been very kind and generous, and I think we've discussed this in the past, but ever since we moved our headquarters to the city of Pittsburgh, the city officials there have been very welcoming, understanding the economic impact, of course, that the Institute's presence would have on the region, far more so than Google and Uber's driverless car testing going on with Carnegie Mellon. But they've actually been very active in it, as have the Heinz Museum folks, in helping us search for a physical presence in Pittsburgh, which we are in the process of doing.
Well, it's very exciting times at the Mustache Hall of Fame. It's Aaron Perlett, Mustache, MUTACHE, hall.com. Keep up the fine work you're doing.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate the time as always.
There you go. That's Aaron Perlett. He's a man's man.
Oh, I wanted to ask him about Casey Affleck, too, if he likes that look.
I think we've probably used too much of his time already.
I think
already.
We have, too. Yeah. I don't want him to get mad.
Yeah. And notice, Carms, out of a favor, as a favor to you, I didn't mention you don't have any facial hair.
Yeah, that's very kind of you, Steve. I
would have crushed you.
What do you feel like doing tonight? What do you want to do?
Well, what do you want to do? There's a lot going on this weekend. St. Patrick's Day, first of all. Every bar is going to be celebrating. The Chicago Cultural Center has a family-friendly event at 6:30 to 11 o'clock tonight. It's the Big Green Party. Hey, don't forget, it's the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. That starts this weekend at Navy Pier.
Always a good time.
After all the snow we had this week, gardeners from around the globe will be pollinating the pier. It starts tomorrow, March 18th through the 26th at Festival Hall. $5 to $17 admission fee, depending on what day you go and what time. Wilson Phillips in town tonight. They're going to be playing at Thalia Hall. The Hubbard Street Dance Festival doing a pair of shows from Spanish choreographer Nacho Duarte. That's season 39, the spring series. Don't forget Mozart and Mimosas, Chicago's Philharmonic Sunday series at noon at the City Winery. That's on Sunday. And, Steve, you've been asking where Faye Dunaway has been. You can finally find out.
What?
Bonnie and Clyde on the big screen this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at the Music Box Theater in Wrigleyville.
It's a great movie.
Both shows 11:30 a.m. So that's a little sampling of what's going on again at St. Paddy's Day. So look online. I'm sure you can find green beer anywhere.
There's an angry leprechaun on the phone. Oh, and by the way, that was brought to you by Majestic Star Casino. That's the good luck part. The good luck is Majestic Star Casino. The bad luck on St. Patrick's Day is an angry leprechaun. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Steven.
What is your name?
Pavis McPaved.
McPeeved.
Did you listen to me? Are you listening to the show?
McPeeved.
Peevish McPeeved.
Peevish McPeeved. Well, good morning to
you. That's right. Good morning.
And are you really angry?
Am I really angry? Are you going to give me an opportunity to speak my piece?
Yes. Yes, please feel free. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sick and tired of taking it. This is our day. This is Ireland's day. This isn't your day. It's our day.
I see. So you're upset because we've turned it into drunken debauchery here in the States.
First of all, green beer. I wouldn't touch green beer. Green beer makes you sick.
Right. If it's green, it's gone bad.
You don't drink it. We know that. We look and say, that's green beer, better throw it out.
So if your beer is green, throw it out. What else should we pay attention to?
Well, first of all, give me a break here. I'm tired of this. People coming up. Oh, look at the little guy. Oh, look at him run. Oh, look at the guy. He's running and, hey, lay off of me. Back off, everybody.
You're tired of people making fun of your size. What about
ridiculous.
What about the Shamrock Shakes? Are you a fan of those?
Oh, my Lord. Everybody knows that St. Patrick got rid of all the shakes in Ireland.
Okay. I did not know that. So
That's folklore, but it's the truth. I knew Patty. I knew him.
I thought it was snakes. You say it's shakes.
No, it's shakes. Okay. We don't have the Shamrock Shake. First of all, you don't put weeds inside a shake.
All right, good.
There's another thing, Stevie. This is what drives me nuts. You go to an Irish pub here and they got chicken fingers? Are you kidding me? I can tell you right now, you go to Ireland, there's no chicken fingers, there's no nachos.
So,
nachos and cheese, what is that?
So you're more of a fish and chips guy?
Oh, you've got to have your fish, you've got to have your potatoes.
Sure.
You've got to eat your potatoes and your corned beef, and that's what you eat.
Yes.
That's the thing. You don't have, like, pot roast sliders? Are you kidding me? Stop pulling my little leg here.
All right, so don't make fun of your size. If the beer is green, throw it out. There's no shakes left in Ireland because the Irish Irish drove all the shakes out of Ireland.
All the shakes are gone.
Yes, and those are all good tips. Well, thank you for the education.
Thank you, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
There he goes.
He didn't seem that angry.
No, just a little offended.
He seems helpful.
Yeah, very much so.
He's a cute little guy. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should.
All right, let's go live to Dean now. Dean is at Bourbon Street with a bunch of ne'er-do-wells and ruffians and drifters.
Hey, these are my people. Careful.
Ne'er-do-wells, ruffians, and drifters all out for a big St. Patrick's Day celebration. But is there trouble at Channel 9? I can't help but notice Larry and Robin and Aaron and Pat are back in the studio. Is there a rift? Let's start a rumor.
Oh, that's a good one, though. But Pat is here. Pat is here with
us. Like I said, Pat's with you. But everybody Pat else is back in the studio. What's with that?
115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park for a big St. Patrick's Day party. You know, Larry and Robin have to be there. You know, if there's some serious news, some breaking news, we can't be out here, you know, wearing, you know, shamrock underpants on our head.
Yeah, but you all went to the backyard thing you did a while ago. You all go out occasionally.
Occasionally we do that.
So let's start the rumor. There's a huge fight going on the Channel 9 morning show.
I think it may have something to do more with the restraining orders. All of us, the entire morning show crew being in the same room together.
Right.
That may be more along the lines of what is actually going on.
And that's all started by McElroy / Ivory, right?
Yes, the core of all personality differences on the morning show.
Right, right. Diva!
Otherwise, we're a finely tuned machine with nothing but love and respect for one another. It's crazy out here. You know, we started the broadcast at 6 o'clock this morning. Have you ever been out here to 115 Bourbon Street? It's huge.
It is huge. I've been out there mostly to get liquored up.
I've been there a bunch. Well, we had our class reunion there. That's my old hood.
This is, there are a lot of people who came out here at 6 o'clock in the morning for just exactly that same reason on this St. Patrick's Day morning. This place is, I'm in a quiet room right now just overlooking the party downstairs. It's packed. This place is packed. It's unbelievable at this hour. I guess not so unbelievable for St. Patrick's Day, because it's a pretty swinging party going on out here.
I was banned. I can't go there anymore.
Steve was showing off his shillelagh to some women. It was unwelcome.
Who wants to see my good luck shillelagh?
Oh, look. It's a four-leaf clover.
Oh, God.
I don't even know what that means.
No, I don't either, but I'm thinking about having it fixed. All right. Stand by, Dean. We got to take a quick break for traffic. We'll come back. And I know you've had no time to go over the important show business news this morning. But I do have to ask you about a couple of movies.
I have to tell you about Beauty and the Beast for sure, because that's the biggie this weekend.
All right. Coming back with movie reviews with Dean in just a second, provided he's sober enough to do it.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh.
All right, 8:24, back to Dean and live at Bourbon Street. Oh, it's getting loud.
Can I paint you a picture of what's going on here?
Yes, go ahead. Paint me a picture.
Anna Boleval is doing hula hoops with some very attractive woman in a tight outfit. I'm standing in this kind of balcony secluded area. I just opened the door for a minute to give you a little flavor of the room, and people are throwing beads at me. They want me to lift my shirt, which is weird. And we have a band on stage. I think it's you too. I think I saw Bono.
Sure.
On our stage. Stop throwing beads at me. Before I said this. Oh, shutting the door.
That would make total sense that you two would be there. This is
really crowd.
You're going to be there till 10?
Yeah, we're all going to be out here until 10 o'clock.
Bourbon Street. Get there now before the fire marshal does.
Yeah, it's 115 Bourbon Street is the official name. It's 115th and Kedzie and Marionette Park, just blocks away from where almost all of my Southside relatives are And I'm just telling them right now, if you're coming out here, you better behave. I'm not bailing anybody out today.
That seems fair. What's wrong with that idea? All right, couple of movies.
Some of Andrea's relatives, too, because I know they're in this neighborhood also.
Oh, they're all, I'm sure they're probably all there, Dean.
A couple of movies. Kong, you liked it?
I loved Kong. It's super exciting. They've kind of gone back to the kind of the original premise of Kong. It all happens on Skull Island, where Kong is discovered. It's a great story. The special effects are amazing. They just did a great job with it.
You know, John DeCoste saw it the other day as well. John, what do you think?
Because of Dean's recommendation, Jackie and I went Wednesday morning to see it. We loved it. Absolutely loved it.
What's the crowd like on a Wednesday morning?
The crowd was my wife and I.
You had the whole theater to yourself?
We had the whole theater.
Did you
make out?
It was a
private screening. Well, I don't want to say anything. No.
I guess that's why you didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to talk about it.
All right, so you both love Kong.
I like going to see movies in the during the day when the theaters are not crowded. I know some people have these pesky little things called jobs, and they can't go to them. But, yeah, I gave it... I think I gave it a Dean's List B+. Really, really liked it.
What about Beauty and the Beast?
Maybe the best movie. I'm not even going to say maybe. By far, to me, the best movie of the year so far.
Wow.
It is just absolutely spectacular in every single way. It's a beautiful throwback to not only the 1991 animated movie that we know, the Disney movie, but really a throwback to, you know, the Beauty and the Beast story originated as a fairy tale,
yes,
in 1740. That's how far back this story goes. This
Lyle
story
Dean of, told me that.
He was participating in writing the story back
then. He did a kicker story back then about it.
Right. And finally this morning, there's a story of a girl who falls in love with a formerly handsome prince. A curse is put on him because he's such a jerk. And until he can learn to love and be loved in return, he will stay a beast. Why they also punished all of the appliances in his house, I don't exactly know, but it certainly makes the story much more entertaining. True to the animated version, the performances are great. Emma Watson is Belle. Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey is the beast. But you've got Sir Ian McKellen and Ewan McGregor. And Audra McDonald, you've got Stanley Tucci as a part of the cast, Josh Gad, Luke Evans, a really good cast.
Scary
really
for little great. Kids?
I don't think so. There's the one scene that you've probably seen in the commercials where the wolves surround Belle. That's a little bit tense, but that's about as bad as it gets. I don't think it is too scary for the little kids. The scene is kind of quick. It's mostly extremely fun. Beautiful, beautiful interaction of the computer-generated parts of this film with all the live action. They really did a good job. So far, all the talk about this movie has been about that so-called gay moment, the two-second scene, which is a large dance scene where everybody in the whole cast is dancing. There's literally a two-second glimpse of two guys that look into the camera together. That's supposed to be the big gay moment. The whole thing is nothing. It's so ridiculous. It's a
tale as old
story.
As time.
Beautiful, beautiful story.
Bestiality.
About accepting a person for who they are on the inside, not what they look like on the outside. That's what you want in this movie. And I'll tell you what, if you're bringing, you know, little girls, daughters, granddaughters, this is such a great story about female empowerment, girls who are not interested in, you know, just finding a husband. You know, Belle wants to read. She wants to do what she wants to do. Very independent-minded. Really great, great role model, I think, especially for girls in this movie. Big Dean's List A on this one. See it on as big a screen as possible. If you can see it on IMAX and 3D, even better, you'll really enjoy it.
Dean's going to go back and flash the viewers that have joined Channel 9's morning show, except for Larry and Robin and Aaron, who are all angry and stayed back at Channel 9 in a huff.
What's really going on? That's what we'll soon learn.
Right. as soon as we make up the rest of this. Thank you, buddy.
And if I get in trouble for exposing my shillelagh out here, I'll let you know.
Good, good. Good luck with that. And shine it first. Back with the big story in just a moment. Still to come, Dane Neal's got a new show on the weekends. We want to plug that. And I understand the angry leprechaun is really mad now and is going to call us back.
What did we do?
Apparently the angry leprechaun stayed on the show, kept listening after we hung up, uh-oh, and thinks I was making fun of him.
You were a little.
Call it's not
little,
helpful.
You call him little guy.
It's not helpful. 9 o'clock, we will have the CLTV hour. CLTV will join us. Spot the purple in the studio. Hear the cat roar. When you do, you'll be a big winner. And the debut of the Madigan game today. If Mike Madigan doesn't show up for an interview before 10 o'clock, you're a big winner. Stand by for that on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Life is a highway. I will ride it all night long. 842, Dane Neal's here, and we got a brand new show premiering tomorrow on 720 WGN, Saturday Afternoon Fair, and Dane will lead into The Beat with Mark Carman. And Dane joins us now live in studio. How are you, man?
It's good to be here. Great entertainment. It was good to hear the angry leprechaun on. He doesn't get enough. I mean, this is his one
day.
You
want him on your show?
I think he's traveling, doing the rainbow kind of travel. He's always protecting the the pot of gold, right? We're always looking for him, so maybe, you know, some kind of GPS on him would be good.
Possibly would be a spotter. Now, you said travel. You said travel is the key word here, right? When it comes to movement and your show.
Well, the show is
it's all about moving.
Well, or at least highlighting people who are moving, whether they're moving on the track or family road trips, travel, getaways, and all those kinds of things.
That's what I was talking about. I wasn't talking about two guys in a truck.
Well, there'll be plenty of that, too.
Yes. All right, so give me an idea. What's tomorrow's show?
Well, tomorrow's show, we're going to, and throughout the course of the show, we're going to highlight travel and personalities in motorsports. Some of the racing people that we'll have on, we're going to focus on their life kind of off the track. People know what they do on Sundays. This will be kind of highlighting who they are as people. And then other guests will be notable people that you know and love but have a great car connection. So we're going to have Guy Fieri is going to be on. Longtime friend, you know him as the host of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. But
how'd you get to know him?
Love that show. Love it.
Actually, this is about 10 years ago. He was just filming the show, got a chance to go on set here at Diners, and this was before the show was popular at all, and got to know him. Know his family, his mom, his dad. Actually went to the Daytona 500 with him weeks ago. Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, he's like, we were down in Miami doing some things, and then he's like, you want to go to the Daytona 500? I had already credentialed myself and stopped by on Thursday to get some stuff, sit in on some press conferences, and I'm like, well, I've got to interview Robert Irvine or Jeffrey Zakarian on Sunday. I can't go to the Daytona 500. I got a jet. You want to get on the jet, we'll go. And I said, I think I could interview Robert Irvine another time. He goes, you think? And then his wife scolded him. Now, don't you leave him behind. And it all worked out well. So,
how's his jet?
It was a Citation X. And
yeah, it's mine. Mine's the same.
It's the fastest of the executive class. It isn't his jet. You know, when you, those are very expensive. You just borrow those on occasion, but go 700 miles an hour. At least that's the top
speed. Actually, my jet says Southwest on the side of it.
He has a jet for Diners, Drive-Ins, and...
No, you just missed the end. He leases the jet when he needs to go from somewhere to somewhere.
Okay, he can afford to lease the jet from...
Sure, NetJets, actually, that type of thing.
Well, actually, and Steve, I'm glad you asked. So this, a lot of these jets have to reposition themselves on a regular basis. And when you get to a certain point, it's like Michael Jordan. How many dinners has he bought for himself? Even though he could afford them, probably not. And so this was just something where they said, like, hey, we've got a jet. You want to go?
Oh.
He lends his name out.
I see.
That's how I get to work.
Right.
That's right. Is it Blue Thunder?
Yes, it is Blue Thunder.
All right, so what's your connection to the auto business, the sports car business and NASCAR and things of that nature?
Well, previously, last 12 years doing a lot of the food stuff all over the place, personalities of food and shows like that. Before that, we actually, me and a couple guys from the suburbs, started the first kind of, or one of the first nationally syndicated shows covering auto racing that wasn't kind of based in the Southeast. So this was before... Fox and NBC had those big contracts. It was before Dale Earnhardt passed away, before NASCAR kind of exploded to the point where...
so you're talking 15 years ago.
Yeah. This was a while ago. So got a chance to cover all of those things. I've covered the Indy 500, Daytona 500, been at the groundbreaking for Chicagoland Speedway and all that. And even still to this day, an accredited NASCAR media member. So kind of, been connected with it. Our family's got, my stepdad builds his own cars. And so,
oh, he does.
So we've, yeah, he's got a, he's building a 61 DeSoto right now. He's got a 78 New Yorker. And then, of course, he's had the 70 Hemi Cuda since 1970.
You say, of course, like everyone has one.
Well, that's, he's kind of known for that. It's been in Hot Rod Magazine, all sorts, wow, of stuff. And it's, it, you hear those stories. So when you're at some of those cruise nights, and we'll be featuring those on a regular basis too, those communities where the whole downtown area gets taken over.
Yep, yep.
How many people come up and say, I used to have one of these, or I knew someone who had one of these?
Pete Pistone's a longtime friend. I'm sure you've run into Pete at various times.
Actually, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, years ago when Pete was doing that show, he did a CLTV show with Lou Canales.
Uh-huh.
I would actually help them get some guests sometimes.
Well, there you go. And Pete, as you know, Andrea, a terrific guy,
mm-hmm,
and
he
a
is.
Great NASCAR connection. He said you know the business inside out for people who are wondering if you have street cred.
Oh, well, been doing it a long time, but nobody's got more street cred than Pete, especially for this area. And he is on the MRN Sirius satellite side. He's their morning show host. So for America, that's who they listen to in the morning.
Dan, will you do a segment at some point on the classic cars in Cuba? I find those so fascinating how they still, I mean, obviously. Now,
well, you saw them personally.
Yeah, now things are going to change, I know, because the sanctions and, you know, the sanctions have been lifted. But they're still using, you know, when you open up a taxi cab, there's still like a plastic container where the gasoline is put. I mean, it's just insane to me. And if anything's going to change now,
not only will we be doing that, but we're going to talk a little travel on how to get there and experience it yourself too. So
cool.
So that'll be great. But I wanted to ask, like, Steve, so did you ever do one of those kind of family truckster vacations? We're going to do one with the kids this summer, kind of head to Yellowstone. Did you ever pile everybody in?
Yeah, well, it's the law. You know, you may not want to do it, but it's the law. When your kids are under 10 years old, you have to do it. Yeah.
And how did that, was it the rewarding experience that I think people look
my
back
kids
on?
Are great. My kids are phenomenal. So piling the kids in the car was never an issue. And it was never an issue when I was a kid either, because what happened when I was a kid is my father would smoke and nonstop, and then he would take the butt and he would throw it out the window. And if I had the window down, it would fly and hit me in the head. So those are good memories. Yeah. Otherwise, you'd have like people. I'm 56 now. If you had a parent who smoked, a lot of times in the winter, you roll the windows up tight. You could smoke a ham in the back seat. You know, they get the Pall Malls going up front. Those are good times.
Yeah, good thing. That's one thing we've moved on from is the whole smoking thing. But everybody smoked back in the day.
It was one of those things.
All the little kids breathed in the secondhand smoke.
Are you doing a summer trip?
Yeah, we're going to do that. The National Park Service has got a thing where if you've got a kid that's in third or fourth grade, they get free admission for the whole family. Now, I don't know what it costs or if you could just do it anyway, but they're about the right age. We've got a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 5-year-old to where, you know, we can hear them say, are we there yet, for 8 straight hours.
Yeah, one too many. You're outnumbered.
Well, right.
You got to go to the zone defense. Yeah. You know the old joke. All right, so tomorrow what time?
2 o'clock tomorrow. So 2 p.m. we'll be getting in there. We're going to have Kevin Harvick on talking about Bakersfield, California, and some of the stuff that he's doing. And we'll have the global vice president of communications for Expedia talking about getting a mm-hmm. jump on that family mm-hmm. vacation.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a dog that you'll be traveling with?
No, I'm glad that's interesting. No, our dog's kind of old and she can't really travel well. So but the kids will definitely do it. So the kids got from my mom's yard, Maxwell found a toad, and we thought it would just, you know, like the fish from the carnival, it would die the next day. And it has lived for like 8 months. It lived in the tub. Now it's got its own container and it's named Will Burrito, and he'll probably definitely be coming with.
Oh, that's nice. You're bringing the fish.
He wants a YouTube channel.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The reason I bring up the dog is I do remember one story when Ross was three, four.
Yeah.
Driving along and he can't wait. You got to stop. Right? Got to stop. Side of the road time. And he gets out to pee, and the dog got out at the same time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I just remember him turning around and going, yeah, I peed on the dog.
Oh.
You know, things happen.
I was thinking maybe he had low-jacked the dog as it ran off into Yellowstone.
No.
Yellowstone.
So what happens is you strap both your son and the dog to the roof rack and let them both dry out. You know what I'm saying?
Different times.
Yeah, that's it. Those are the things. So the name of the show
is On the Road with Dane, and it's going to be like travel, lifestyle, and of course a lot of cars too. We'll have people from Westmont on tomorrow as well.
Wow, big hour, and immediately followed by
That would be the Beat 4 to 7 with yours truly, and Harry Tynowitz is on there a bunch, and Kevin Powell and Adam Hogue and Jared Payton. And
regular cast of thousands.
That's right. But I'm there, baby.
All right. We'll come back and do more in a second. First, here's Mary with the traffic. I don't even want to pick up the phone. He's back. The angry leprechaun who called last hour is back on the phone. Is this Peavy McPeevish?
Oh, look who all of a sudden is going to pick up the phone and talk to me now. Mr. Corcoran, or shall I call you Mr. Corcoran, spirit against the Irish ways, idiot?
I don't know why you're so angry.
Oh, you get off the phone, you have me on your show there, you said, oh, come on, you little guy. And next thing I know, you're making fun of me?
Well, we weren't really making fun that much.
Oh, you don't think because I'm from Ireland, I can't tell if you're making fun of me?
Okay, maybe we were a little bit. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. We were just having a good time.
Well, whatever you don't mean and what you do mean aren't the same thing, you stupid idiot.
Why does it sound so adorable when you say stupid idiot?
Oh, now all of a sudden I'm the little adorable guy. Oh, let's follow the rainbow. Maybe get a pot of gold.
Do you
live your life.
Do you have a limerick you want to share with us?
Oh, now I got to be nice. All of a sudden. But you know what? In spite of you, Mr. Corcoran, I'm going to do it.
All right. We're ready when you are.
May all your days be blessed. And may your worries never linger. And from all of us on the Emerald Isle, we ain't got nothing to do with Green Bear and Chicken Fingers, you stupid giant United States fricks. How about that one, Mr. Corcoran?
Oh, that's beautiful. Hey, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, I enjoy your show. It's a good place.
May the road rise to meet you. Oh, he's already hung
he's
up.
He's mad at the chicken fingers. That got him riled up. He's cute, though.
It's the worst limerick ever. We're back with the CLTV Hour next at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 12 after 9. The Steve Cochran Show continues. We are live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. My friend Mark Slaby's here. Mark and I met, has it been 10 years?
Just about, yeah.
About 10 years ago. Mark said, you want to have some breakfast? And I said, well, you're not necessarily my type, but you know. So we had breakfast. We started talking, and you were just a boy with a dream.
That's right.
And this boy with a dream wanted to have a golf outing. And this golf outing would benefit Illinois families, veterans and active duty members, their family members who had a legitimate interest in their education. And I think the brilliance of the setup was not just the sweat equity you put into it from the beginning, but the fact that these folks would have equity in it, that these scholarships would mean that you would give seed money to a lot of really fine folks to further their education. And now 7, 8, 9, 10 years down the road, how many years?
It's been officially 7 years.
Seven years
of officially opened.
Do you know how many scholarships you've granted?
We've granted over 100. Well, excuse me, over 100 as of this May, to be direct. Thank you. And these are quality repetitive scholarships. So the thing I want to emphasize and appreciate you pointing out is our donors, they're making investments in these family members. And so what differentiates us from most organizations in the country, if not all, is that we're making an investment in the Illinois military family. It's the veteran, the spouse, and the children. And so what we're really excited about is that once they come into our family, the IPEF family, we see them through college. Okay, so we're helping break the cycle that a lot of these families go through where they're not able to complete their studies or their first generation, they don't know how to.
Sure.
And we're very humbled by the support of the community, and we're actually starting to focus now on K-12, ensuring that we make an investment early on in that child of that veteran.
Well, especially in the state and with schools having the problems they're having with funding and things, to make sure that kids are able to get an education from the start.
Correct.
Illinois Patriot Education Fund, IPEF. What's the website?
IllinoisPatriot.org.
IllinoisPatriot.org. So here's the thing. If you've ever tried to start a golf outing, you're obviously nuts. And Mark is has done, you know, here's what I'd say about Mark. He's done very well. And he threw a bunch of his own money at this to get the thing started and, you know, put all of his time into it. Somehow he still managed to have a beautiful wife and two kids. I don't know where you found the time to do that. And I told you were nuts. I told you don't do this. When you started this, I'm so good at giving people advice. Remember I told DeCastro not to come back? I told Mark, I go, listen, it's a beautiful idea, but don't do it. You're going to kill yourself doing it. And the first few years, this thing just grew exponentially because I think the ultimate truth of the Illinois Patriot Education Fund is when people get the mission, they get it. You know, whether they come to the outing or they talk to you or they talk to your people, once you get what you're doing, people are all in.
And we don't take that for granted.
It's a big deal. A very impressive list of sponsors. I mean, some of the folks that have been there from the beginning, Aon, right?
Aon has been there from day one.
And the folks at Aon jumping on board corporately mean a lot as well. But what else do we need? I say we because I glom onto you every year and do whatever I can to help. But corporate sponsorships, you never have enough of those, do you?
You never do. And we're here today to try and focus on explaining how great the need is. And in the studio, I've got Catherine Jenisek. She is chairman of the MarCom committee. She's on the Patriot Advisory Board and a super volunteer. She's an example of many individuals in the community that are investing time and talent and volunteering their time to help the families out. So we're here to talk about the need. The need is great. In fact, the Veterans Affairs, the Illinois Veterans Affairs Office several years ago gave us an indication that they think that there's over 10,000 individuals that are in need of financial assistance because the post 9/11 GI Bill does not fill these gaps.
Just one more way we're not getting it done for vets. Catherine, pull that microphone in front of you as well.
To emphasize what he's talking about, we're all volunteers. You know, Mark doesn't make any money. I don't, you know, none of the board members make any money. There is just like one paid admin. We it's very low cost because we want all of the donations going to the veterans, these scholarships.
Right.
We're very focused on putting men and women to college. And not only veterans, but their children. We were blessed to be able to put two young women to college here in the Midwest because their parents spent decades together in the military. And it's just, it blew my mind to be able to meet these young women, and they're going to be huge. One wants to be a doctor, like in physical therapy. The other one, they're going to change the world, but it wouldn't be possible if they, and they've told us, like, they need this money to go to college.
Well, there's no question. This family was in last year. This was the family. The Jemerson family last year. I love these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad couldn't be in that day. We met Mom and the girls, and then Dad was there the night of the golf outing. Speaking, and that's a guy you just go, what can I do for you?
Sergeant Jamerson.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because these are people that sacrifice. These are people that continue to sacrifice. These are the people that pay it forward. You know, it's that old cliche, freedom isn't free, but that's in fact fact. And these people don't ask for anything. So to get everybody to step up and say, I could use a little help and I appreciate it. It's great. And I've met these kids. I've met these kids you've helped through the year. We're talking about doctors. We're talking about people who are able to go off to law school. We're talking about engineers. Yeah, I mean, changing people's lives.
And it helps the entire community, too. I mean, you've got other people who are buying houses, et cetera.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'd like to tell a story about, if I could, please, is exactly what you're talking about, Steve. We have a scholar, Purple Heart recipient, Navy man, was in transition, because a lot of these families struggle the moment they start trying to transition back into civilian life. And he got involved in our program several years ago. And we were able to afford him scholarship funding for his college degree. And then we were able to help round out his spouse's degree and then his children's school.
Pretty cool.
And what happened was an individual sponsor, donor, investor got behind him, hired him. And one night I got a call. I remember it very well. It was a late Friday evening. And he called up and he said, hey, I just landed a great job. And I wouldn't have been able to land this job without completing my education. My wife is out there networking. It looks like she's going to secure a great job. And I'm looking at this line item on our budget, our family budget, and it says the IPEF scholarship. And he said, Mark, I need to turn this back to you. I need to reinvest in who's behind me, another scholar behind me, because you guys stepped up when I needed it, when my family needed it. And now it's time for me to step up and reallocate it to someone who needs it more than I do because I've landed a great job.
Wow. That's all you want, man.
Can you say more than that?
No, that's goosebump stuff. That's paying it forward. And that's what they do at IPATH every single day. Now, the golf outing's coming up. And we want you to come out and play golf at the beautiful Medina Golf Club. But before we get to the plug for that, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Catherine and with Mark. But in the meantime, everything, all the information you need about anything we're talking about today, how to get involved, how to volunteer, how to be a corporate sponsor, how to sign up, just go to the website, right?
IllinoisPatriot.org.
It couldn't be easier, and I couldn't recommend it more highly. It's 920 on 720 WGN.
Oh. Scholarship.
Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Oh, did you hear that? I think you did. Seventh caller, be a big winner. Spot the purple. Where's the purple in the studio? I can't tell. Look at CLTV and spot the purple on 720 WGN. Mark Slaby and Catherine Janicek here, and it is the Illinois Patriot Education Fund. Well, plug a few sponsors here. Throw a few names out.
So there's a lot of organizations that really step up and help us out year-round. Fifth Third Bank, Aon, Advanced Resources, Wintrust, Blue Cross Shield of Illinois.
Blue Cross Blue Shield, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Legacy Marketing, Grunt Style, Law Vision has really stepped up and volunteered a tremendous amount of resources. Marin Electric, Pulsalini has really stepped up as well recently. We've got, of course, TourEdge and Criavo and Catherine Janicek Productions.
And thank you, Catherine, for that. It's not like you don't have other business, so thank you for what you do as well. Cornelison doing the anthem every year is very special for people as well. That's a great moment.
We get a tremendous amount of individuals who think that that sets the right tone for why we're there every year.
And you know, these are to some extent our first world problems when it comes to folks who are able to go to the golf outings. But you did something really smart a couple of years ago, which is no small deal. There's about, you know, 9, 10 foursomes left, and you need to get in on this before they're gone because it sells out every year. And it's a great day because every group plays with or has contact with a vet, yes?
Correct.
And the really smart thing you did is because, and this is no fault of anybody, but generally what happens is you play in a golf outing, and Andre, you know this, you play in a golf outing, you get to the end of the golf outing, there's a cocktail hour, and after the cocktail hour, there's a dinner. Mm-hmm. And invariably, it turns into a very long day. And some people go, oh, I can't do it next year. It's too long a day. So what Mark did, and I think this is brilliant, is the ceremony is before we play.
I know. How cool is
everybody
that?
Everybody comes out. We do a huge luncheon.
An auction.
Do the ceremony then. We raise money then. There's still a get-together afterwards. But if people need to bolt once the golf's over, they can go. And the important thing from my perspective is we take their money early.
That's right. And it's such a great group, too. I mean, because we play in a lot of these, Steve, but this is such a great group. I was saying to Catherine last year, it rained a little bit. There was a rain delay, and we thought, oh, are we going to go back out or not? Everybody just stayed.
Yeah.
They had to keep making sandwiches, and everyone just wanted to
hang out.
Everybody
has a great time. And everybody
money.
Wants to talk to.
Yeah.
This is one thing that kind of reinforces your faith in tough times in this country. Everybody wants to shake a hand of these people who have sacrificed and say thank you. And the scholarship kids are so blown away. They go, well, I'm just, why are you thanking me? I should be thanking you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the magic, I think, is that you shake the hand of the very scholar who your investment is or your donation is invested in. And I think, you know, on that point, in terms of scholarship needs and things that the community needs to be aware of, is that Catherine and our group were posting information regarding getting involved and getting engaged and applying for scholarships. And the actual Facebook posting, in our view, kind of blew up, and there was over 14,000 hits and views of a individual subject here that pertains to Illinois military families. And we have found that our application process has been, because of this awareness and people learning through Clear Channel, who's been very generous in donating digital billboards for us, that more and more people, more and more families are learning about this. And our goal is to get it on the street corner of every corner of Illinois.
The deadline's coming up to apply, yes?
Correct. March 31st, the portal closes. It's been open since January 1st, and then it will reopen January 1st of next year. So we've got a few weeks left. The scholars that need to apply need to finish their applications, and then those that are aware that are becoming aware of the program on this radio station, they need to apply sooner than later.
And the application is fairly straightforward. They don't need, it's not like filing your taxes.
It's very straightforward. There's a few letters of recommendation and some things that we require. We do our due diligence. We take the investment of our donors very seriously. And again, they can find all information at IllinoisPatriot.org.
Catherine, I got a minute before we're going to be out of time here. What do you want people to know that we haven't covered?
Either donate money to help people go to college, veterans and veterans' families, or please apply for the scholarship. We need more people. We want to help more people. Mm-hmm. Please apply.
Yeah, there's no shortage of people standing up and saying, can you help me? The problem is Mark wants to help everybody and the people he hasn't met yet. So a big heart goes a long way, but your money goes a lot longer as well. And I'm, you know, I'm not necessarily choking up as far as you know. I'm just choking up. But these kids mean a lot to me, too. Because I've been with you since day one, and it's a big deal.
It's an emotional day, too.
And we're very, very thankful for everything you've done. You have come out and emceed. You spend an entire day. We need you because you're a heavy hitter. So you bring a lot of people, you know, to the golf tournament, too. So we really...
I love talking about it all year long. I mean, Mark and I talk about this all the time. You run into people, and they go, you know, is there an organization that, you know, you're particularly close to? And there's a bunch of them. But I always talk about you first, bud.
Well, the relationship and the partnership at WGN has helped many Illinois military families. So thank you again.
Isn't this the outing, Steve, where I know you've told the story before where you were on the tee and one of the guys was making.
This is a story. This is,
so this is
a story.
This is great.
The wounded warriors of all kind are amazing people. So there's a hole-in-one contest. In this particular year, and on the hole-in-one contest was a particular soldier who had one leg and one arm because of his injuries, and he shanked a ball into the pond. And Mark and I were standing there with microphones on the hill overlooking this hole, kind of doing a play-by-play. And from behind me, I hear, "You suck!" So I'm instantly livid. I want to turn around. How dare you? I turn around, and it's a guy with no arms and no legs,
right.
One of his buddies who's heckling him. And that's the kind of thing you see all day, the camaraderie of these people who have gone through hell, who are out there in the middle of it, just yucking it up, just needling each other. It was a great moment. So, but there's great moments all day long, all the time, at the Illinois Patriot Education Fund events. And there's other events we're talking about doing throughout the year as well, which means more volunteers are needed. So, website again?
IllinoisPatriot.org. And I would also emphasize that we need your leadership. So, folks that are involved in the community that want to step up and get more involved, whether it's serving on our board or getting involved in individual events, please reach out to us at IllinoisPatriot.org. We need your help.
Yeah, and for my part, give us your money.
Right.
Thank you, Catherine. 9:31, back with a big story next on 720 WGN. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you're aware, but the Mike Madigan game is something we're going to do every hour,
okay,
or every day, I should say, the 9 o'clock hour.
Cool.
And I'm just, here's the way this works. I simply go to Mike Jacobson, and I check to see if Mike Madigan has returned a call on our invitation to be on the show. This is show number 863. We are 0 for 862 at this point. But then again, the guy doesn't have a phone. He doesn't have a phone.
Yep.
And what have I done? I have volunteered to run errands for him.
Mm-hmm.
I have also volunteered to buy him a smartphone because none of his constituents can get a hold of him. None of the people can get a hold of him. It's almost as if he doesn't want to be contacted. Mm. So, Jake, have we heard from Mike Madigan? Apparently not. Seventh caller now wins the Madigan game. 312-981-7200. We'll give you some choice of things on the prize list that you'll love. When Mike Madigan doesn't show up, you're a big winner because in this state's mess, somebody ought to win. It's 9:45. Before we go any further, there's a lot of angst over the Trump budget that came out yesterday. Frankly, it's nothing but noise at this point because this budget won't pass through Congress. There's a lot of changes that'll have to go into it. Certainly there are good things about it, and there are disturbing things about it, like Meals on Wheels, after school programs, things of that nature. One of the things that people are concerned about, and I think rightfully so, is funding for the arts and funding for PBS. Now, for those of us who pay our own way, we could certainly go, why does PBS get government funding? Well, because that's the business model as it was set up a long, long, long time ago.
Right. And remember Mr. Rogers testified years ago?
It's funny you say that.
Oh.
Roll the tape.
It's a unique kind of funding in educational television. With this help, now our program has a budget of $6,000. It may sound like quite a difference, but $6,000 pays for less than 2 minutes of cartoons, 2 minutes of animated what I sometimes say, bombardment. I'm very much concerned, as I know you are, about what's being delivered to our children in this country. And I've worked in the field of child development for 6 years now, trying to understand the inner needs of children. We deal with such things as the inner drama of childhood. We don't have to bop somebody over the head to make him to make drama on the screen. We deal with such things as getting a haircut or the feelings about brothers and sisters and the kind of anger that arises in simple family situations. And we speak to it constructively.
How long a program is it?
It's a half hour every day. We've got to have more of this neighborhood expression of care. And this is what I give.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Roberson gets it into Fisher. Davis throws it up three-quarters court. Good if it goes. Off the glass. No good. And in their first ever NCAA tournament game, the Northwestern Wildcats are moving on in the big dance. They had to sweat it out. 68-66. And the eighth-seeded Wildcats advance to take on top-seed Gonzaga on Saturday.
Go Cat.
I don't know who is more nervous, Doug Collins or me, sitting alone at my house screaming. The coach, Chris Collins, joins us now. Get over here, coach. Give me a hug. Nice job, buddy. Nice job. Got to be very proud of those kids.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Good morning. It was a great day. It started by coming into an arena that was just full of purple in Salt Lake City yesterday. Here.
How about that, by the way? And it was loud.
It was awesome. It was awesome. It felt like a home game. I mean, 70% of that place was purple. People from all over the country coming out to be a part of our first ever NCAA game. And it really helped us, especially when it got down to the wire. And, you know, it was a possession-by-possession game. It was going back and forth. And our guys were just really tough. We made a lot of key free throws. And, you know, we were able to get that one last stop when we needed it, when we were up one and finish off the game. So really special day. And in this tournament, it's about one thing, living to see another day.
Any of the kids on the team, any of the guys on the team say anything afterwards that really tickled you or you want to share with us?
Well, just the joy. We had it was funny. We had Coach Fitz coming out of the locker room. He gave a, you know, he was fired up. His middle linebacker came out in him and was chest bumping and hugging. And it was just a great, great moment for all of us. These guys put a lot into it. They work really hard. You dream about playing in these kinds of games and winning them. So just that moment you share in the locker room when it's just your team and you get a chance to celebrate and enjoy, that's what makes it really fun.
Chris, you're talking about toughness, and that's been a message to your guys all season long. Yesterday, I'm watching, I'm thinking, don't give up the lead, don't give up the lead, don't give up the lead. You gave up the lead, and then you fought and got it right back. I'm wondering if you were having the same thought.
Yeah, you know what? We've been in that situation this year, where teams are going to make runs on you, and you just got to be tough and finish the game. I mean, watching it afterwards again, I mean, Vandy made some incredible shots during that run. I mean, I didn't feel like we were giving it away. I mean, that, some of their guys hit some 27, 28 footers, contested shots. I mean, they really stepped up and made plays to get back in the game, give them credit for that. And we just kept telling each other in the huddles, like, you know, this is who we are. We're tough. We finish games. Let's do this. And really going to the line, too. I mean, Derek Pardner, a big guy who's been a 50% free throw shooter in his career, walking to the free throw line and making 6 out of 6 in the last 4 minutes was just huge and really great for his confidence and a big reason why we won.
Coach, we are all...
Oh, where's your microphone? There it is.
Thank you, Steve. Coach, we are all cheering for you. Chicago has become purple. Illinois has become purple. How do you keep the emotions in check? I mean, this has got to be so exciting, not just for you, but for the guys where they are, either in the tournament, I mean, off the court. Is it hard to kind of keep the emotions in check? Do you have to kind of have the talking to?
Yeah, no, we talk about it all the time, you know, and the thing that we've talked about, you know, coming into this tournament is the excitement of us being here was unprecedented because it's never happened. And I'm big on celebrating good things and celebrating successes. I think that's important. But then once you have that little celebration, and once you get through that, it's on to the next. And, you know, our guys were good. The good thing about it is we have 48 hours today, all day today, into tomorrow to really lock in on what's ahead of us with Gonzaga. You know, one of the best programs in the country. They've been unbelievable all year long. And I know our guys are going to be focused. That's who they've been. We want to take advantage of this opportunity. You know, it's great to be here. It's exciting to be here. But you just can't take for granted that you're going to be back. I mean, we hope to be back many times. And we hope that this becomes kind of who we are from year to year. But the reality is it's really hard, and it's hard to get to this point. And when you're here, you got to try to take advantage of the opportunity. And that's kind of been our mantra as we got into this tournament.
It's one of the great things about March Madness. You know, it's one and done. It's an opportunity for teams to get hot at just the right time, to put up a great game versus a game maybe of a team that's better on paper that doesn't get it done. And I thought you nailed it yesterday in postgame, Coach, when you said there's no pressure. The pressure was getting here. And tomorrow, if I'm Gonzaga, I don't want you guys. I don't want a piece of you guys because you're such a great story, and the pressure's on them to get it done.
Yeah, I think our guys will be loose. You know, I think, you know, once we kind of flip the switch to that point, you know, once we won that Michigan game the last week of the regular season, you know, we were feeling a lot of pressure. We knew we needed at least one more win to get to the tournament. Once we got that Michigan game and we kind of knew we were going to be there, I noticed us even take another step up in our play. We went to the Big Ten tournament, played really well, got two big wins over Rutgers and Maryland and D.C., and then, you know, thought we played really well yesterday. So, you know, we're peaking at the right time. We're playing good basketball. Our guys are loose. They're confident. And, you know, we'll just let it rip tomorrow and see what happens. It's, you know, if we lose the game, it's going to be because Gonzaga was better than us. It's not going to be because, you know, our guys weren't ready or they weren't focused. It's just, you get to this point, man, 32 teams left. Everybody's really good. You got to play great to keep playing.
Amen.
I saw the video, Coach, of you guys getting off the bus, getting back to your hotel. The band's out there. All the fans are there. You guys are walking through like you're rock stars. That had to be unbelievable.
It's just incredible, you know, to think about where we were 4 years ago, you know, when we were begging people to come to our games and, you know, try to support this team. And, you know, and it's all what the players have done. I mean, they've built this thing. They've become this team that people really enjoy following. I can't even begin to describe what the scene was like here yesterday at the game, at the hotel. You know, all the people from all over the country that want to be here and are so excited. And, you know, even people who come up and they're crying because their emotions come to tears because they're just, they can't believe that this has happened. So for me, that's what makes me feel good.
Very cool.
That's a big reason why I wanted to come to Northwestern.
Coach, when you beat Gonzaga, please, please, for all of us, keep an eye on Dave. I mean, right, Steve?
Emmett playing hurt yesterday. We were very proud of Emmett.
Yeah, he's the man. I mean, I tell you what, calm under pressure is Dave Emmett. I mean, anytime I get a little frazzled or anytime I lose my poise, I just look over to that radio booth and I see that confident look, and yeah, I snap right back into reality.
Before I let you go, the kid from Vandy that fouled, well, first off, what went through your head when it happened, and what do you say to a kid like that who had a great game? They didn't lose the game because of the foul, but that's going to stick with that kid, and I feel bad for him.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I played back in the day, and things happen. You in games, people don't realize basketball is such a quick moving game, and sometimes you can make quick decisions that aren't right. And it was an honest mistake. Obviously, he thought they were down one. I felt for him. I mean, he was really the kid that brought them back. I mean, the shots he made in the second half were incredible. And he put them in a position to win that game. I know Bryce well. He's a heck of a coach, a great guy. I know that the support he gave that kid was strong after the game. And, you know, obviously I was surprised because we were down and we were setting something up for McIntosh to attack. And when they grabbed him, you know, I was happy because not only were we shooting free throws, but it was our best shooter.
Sure.
It was a 90% free throw shooter. So those things happen. I really felt for the kid. You know, obviously we wanted to win, and, you know, we were happy that it happened. But as a former player and someone who's been in those games, you know, you feel for that guy.
Coach, I appreciate it. Enjoy the ride. I know you will, and we can't wait till tomorrow. We'll have it here on the radio at 720 WGN.
Really appreciate you guys' support.
Thanks, buddy. That's Coach Chris Collins. Back with Bill and Wendy next.